You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch, finally coming to you from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow, you sound so much drier.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but we're going to roll with it.
You sound a little sandy.
A little dusty.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April 26th, episode 3419. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a fun show planned. We have Auditor Melanie joining us with a live report from the Defender 3-Day in Lexington, Kentucky. We don't have Jamie joining us because she's doing something else this morning out there. She's in Kentucky, of course. That's why Ashley's here. And Jamie is heading out with her friends on a tour of one of the farms, I think. And then this afternoon, she's going on a tour of Old Friends, which is where the retirement community for thoroughbreds, with our friend John running it now. John's going to give her a tour, so I'm sure she'll pick up an interview with him while she's there. And then we're going to play a piece of an interview that you did, right?
That's right. Just last week, we had the opportunity to interview Brendan Wise of Unbridled Wings, who has been going viral on social media for his bridleless show jumping rounds. And it was such an inspiring and educational interview. If I wasn't 7 months pregnant, I would be riding a horse bridleless right now, obviously.
Oh, I just got a slight panic attack when you said 7 months pregnant, because that means in 2 months, you're off for 3 months.
Hey, you know what? I've just been living in delusion land, Glenn. You should join me. It's great.
I did get to hang out with Brendan, actually, at Equine Affair for about a half an hour. We sat and chatted. He's a super nice guy. So got to talk to him, and he's kind of changing the world a little bit over there in the jumping side of things. You know, I also am going to be sprinkling throughout the show today some horse sayings, and these are some famous horse sayings, and I tried to research where they came from. So a lot of these, they're not quite sure, but this is the best guess. So for a lot of these, hold your horses. We all know what it means, right? And there are several possible origins for this phrase, some believing it dates all the way back to Homer's time in the story of the Siege of Troy. There was these two guys who I can't say their names because you cannot say any of their names from back then. So I'm going to call them M and A. And M told A to slow down during a chariot race. It's commonly translated as, A, you drive like a maniac, hold your horses. And I think that Jennifer might have said that to me a few times when I had my first Hackney. So, and,
but the A stood for something
yes,
else,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. Another one, get off your high horse. Of course, it means you're acting self-righteously or snobby. And this is likely to originate from when medieval soldiers and landowners and political leaders were known to ride large and expensive horses to emphasize their power and superiority. That one's kind of common sense. But I have some more for you that we'll do throughout the show. We're also going to talk, I have some facts and figures about the cicadas that are now popping out. So, you know, this is a big year for cicadas, and of course, horse people all over the Midwest and the East are going to have to deal with them. And I just read an article this morning, which reminded me to do this. There's been some police departments in South Carolina where they're starting to pop out already that are getting calls from people complaining about the noise and if there was anything the police could do about the noise.
I mean, how much more obvious can you be as the new kid in town? Calling the cops on some bugs.
They don't read the news, obviously. But, you know, some of these people, if you're less than 17 years old, you've never had this for, you know,
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah. So you're brand new to this, or you were little. So probably if you're under 25, you remember it.
Those darn, what are Gen Zers?
Yes.
They got to figure it out, guys.
Well, welcome to your life over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be very loud. All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, I have a bunch of auditor birthdays this weekend. Dustin, Jolene, Denny, who wrote me an email because she doesn't put her birthday on Facebook, and I didn't do hers last year. And she was very upset, and I said, well, if your birthday's not on Facebook, you have to let me know. So she wrote me an email and let me know. So happy birthday to you, Melissa Ryan, J-Mo Sams, Megan Hennessy, and Matt Hagee. Happy birthday to all of you. You're in a good month, all of you. I got to say, it's a good birthday month. Also, we have a new auditor, Mary Bartlett. Welcome to the crowd. Mary, if you haven't joined the auditor page, just search for HRN Auditors on Facebook. And raising their pledge was our friend, Jamie and I's friend, Nellie Kennedy. Thank you, Nellie. We appreciate that. And welcome back. Your turn.
So I'm rolling out a new portion. Instead of doing a daily Winnie, I'm going to do a daily buck, and it's the best I could think of as the opposite of
You're
a Winnie.
Do a buck off?
A buck off, man. And you know who I'm telling to buck off?
I need to get our guy
off?
To do a sound effect for that. He'll love it.
I am telling my movers to buck off because they were almost a week delayed with all of my stuff. And, you know, I can put on a smile and make a good situation out of nearly anything, Glenn. I really am glass half full girl.
I haven't seen you mad. Well, I've seen you mad a couple times, but most of the time as a matter of fact, I have people ask, is she always like that? I'm like, yep, she's always like that.
It really takes a lot to bring me down or make me upset. And, you know, I think 90% of it is pregnancy, but like, I just wanted my bed. I wanted fresh clothes.
You had one chair in your house.
I was recording on the floor. I recorded my interview with Brendan Wise sitting on the floor on a pillow with my laptop and mic on a little dining tray.
You said that the truck broke down and stuff.
Oh my! It was one thing after another after another. The truck broke down, so then they had to tow it to a fixer. The fixer couldn't get to it. They couldn't then fix the truck, so they had to remove everything onto a U-Haul.
Oh, no.
So half of our stuff. I mean, not half, but a bunch of stuff got broken or dented, which I'm not that mad about. I mean, they're going to cut a check for it. So I've been shopping on Wayfair for new furniture,
stuff.
Silver linings, baby. But this move had more baloney involved than moving overseas. Like I was in a foreign country and had a better experience.
Do you have your stuff now? Is it there?
It's here. I just hooked up my mic on my arm extender today. So I'm sitting at my desk. I'm not hunched over like a cockroach trying to record. I'm in my office.
And you're sleeping on your bed. There.
And I'm sleeping on my king size mattress, Glenn.
It is nice. I love to go away. We love to travel. But when you come home to your own bed, it's so nice after you haven't had it in a while.
All my pillows fit, my pregnancy pillows. And Zach's been snoring, so he gets kicked out on the couch. So I've been starfishing on that bed. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
How do you like New Mexico? You're in Albuquerque. You're just outside, right?
Gosh, from downtown, maybe 12 minutes.
Oh,
so
wow.
In the suburbs, I
How
guess
big
you
is
could say. That's a great question that I don't have an answer for.
I mean, it's not too bad to get downtown, I guess.
No, not at all. And I know, we're here because Zach's in the Air Force. He's reporting to a special position on Kirtland Air Force Base, which is about 15 minutes away. And honestly, we love it here. It is so beautiful. The weather has been sunny and 80 nearly every day. with like in the 40s at night. So we don't have the AC on at all because it's just been so temperate. We can see the Sandia Mountains out of our bedroom window, which Sandia is actually Spanish for watermelon.
Okay.
I don't know.
Does it look
why.
Like a watermelon?
Sure doesn't. But we went on a little hike in the mountains over the weekend. And honestly, so my mom and I have this theory about why Floridians are all so happy and friendly. And if Florida folks know, like you go to Publix and people just like come up and talk to you about anything. It's the Florida effect. And I think it has to do with sunshine. And everyone here is just as nice. We went to a park to walk the dogs. We could walk from our house to the park. Everything is just so central here. It's amazing. And at the park, everyone's, hey, good morning. How are you? What are you doing? Like there was a little Airstream Silver Bullet selling coffee and croissants at the park. Like, it's just so lovely.
So Mike, it sounds like you like it better than you did Kansas City.
400 million times more. I have Target, Whole Foods, and Trader Joe's all within 10 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
I've been to Target 5 times so far.
You're going to need those come baby time.
Oh my gosh. We're really enjoying it. And we're having a lot of fun, you know, trying out new restaurants.
Yeah, have you eaten Mexican?
Oh, yeah.
I assume so.
Oh, yeah, we have. And fun fact, you know, I guess a lot of people who are pregnant have issues with heartburn.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, are you eating any jalapenos or?
Yes, I have. So the big thing here is you get everything with chili on it and you either get green chili or red chili or if
and
you
I
get
like
a
both.
Mix. Me too. Yeah. So then you'd order Christmas style.
Is oh, is
what
that what's
called? Yeah. And so we've been.
We have to go visit them out there.
Come on. We got room. We got room. And so I've been trying everything with chilies. Like we even had pizza with chilies on it. So good. Zach cannot hang. No, me and baby are loving it. But Zach is not built for the spicy food, you guys.
Big Air Force dude.
I was like, oh, honey, maybe you should not get the spicy food. But I've been fine. No heartburn, just eating it all. It's been such a wonderful change of pace, wonderful change of place. We're just really, really excited and happy so far. Yeah.
Well, and pretty soon in 2 months, you'll be able to have margaritas with them.
So. Oh, you know, I can't wait.
I know. That's been the hardest thing for you, I think.
Yeah. And I try to like pour like juice in a wine glass and I'll order a mocktail when we go to dinner and it's fun and it's cute, but like y'all, it's not the same.
Well, I'm glad you're liking it out there. It's a good thing after all the hassle you went through.
Yes, for sure.
Hey, you saw the pictures of the military horses in London. Everybody saw the pictures of the military horses in London.
I thought it was AI at first.
Yeah,
like, I was
did
like,
too.
There's no way this is real.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. So what happened was, and I wanted to dig in and find out exactly what did happen. And if you don't know what we're talking about, there was these pictures of the two horses. One was a gray with blood all over the front of him. And I didn't realize quite how bad it was. So what happened was there were four guys that were training at Buckingham Palace. They have a lot of horses there, and they train all the time. And it was the military horses. And what happened was there was a group of four, and there was a construction site nearby, and apparently there was a very loud crash at the construction site, and three of the four horses. Well, they all bolted, but three of the four dumped their riders immediately. By the way, the riders all went to the hospital, too.
Mm.
And there was another horse that tried to bolt, but they managed to hold on to him. So two of the horses got off property and ended up on this sojourn around London. And I mean, they were gone for a long time. They were running down traffic. They almost hit motorcycles. They almost hit bicyclists. And one of them actually hit a taxi, which is why the blood.
Oh.
And they were sideswiping cars. They ended up 5 miles from where they started.
Oh, my God.
They were that spooked and running around the city that one of them, when he crashed into the taxi, shattered the windows in the taxi. Another hit a tour bus, smashing the windshield.
Jeez and rice.
Now, the horses they're apparently in serious condition, but they're alive and they're being taken care of and they're expected to make a recovery. They train up to 150 horses a day. So they said this is exceptionally rare. You know, we haven't heard it before. Mm-hmm. And that these two will probably be retired. No
That's
kidding.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Actually, there's a very well-known retirement facility over in England that takes the royal horses in at retirement, and they've already offered. So the guys are going to be okay and expected to get back to duty, the riders, but they were in the hospital too. So it was just a bizarre event. And, you know, I had the same thing, when Scooter bolted two times ago on me. We had just hooked him up. Jennifer had just let go. I was sitting in the car holding the reins, and the guy next door started shooting. Mm-hmm. They've heard shooting 100 times. We had a gun range on our property, but it was just the timing.
Right.
Just gotten in the cart, shooting Scooter bolts. So this is just a timing thing. You know, it was just something that I'm sure they're used to all kinds of noises.
Oh, sure.
Apparently this was a loud crash. So that just, right?
I want to hear from the one rider who stayed on.
Yeah.
Because I bet you know that he or she is never going to let the other riders live this down.
Well, apparently they were practicing for something that was supposed to happen the next day, and 150 horses did take part in the annual inspection at Hyde Park. And actually, that's something that we've probably all seen video of, too, where the Queen would come out and inspect mm-hmm. the horses in Hyde Park, and they did the trooping of the colors and all that kind of stuff. So there's your report. The horses are going to make it. The riders are going to make it. But it was a scary time in London.
I'm glad everybody's okay. Like I said, I thought it was AI or like some PETA. Remember back in like the early 2000s, PETA was throwing red paint on like fur coat wearers and stuff. I thought it could have been a million different things.
Yeah, I know.
And it wasn't. I didn't expect it to be real.
No, yeah. It was real. It was real. All right. So another saying, and then we'll get to your interview. If something gets your goat, and we've all heard the saying, but I never really knew where it came from. They think that the origin is a bizarre expression that may come from horse racing, where nervous thoroughbreds sometimes had goats put in their stables as companions. By the way, that's still done up to today. And a horse not running his best may have been because someone else got his goat.
No kidding.
And I think there was a horse last year in the Kentucky Derby that had a goat in his stall. So that's still a thing, but that's I didn't put those two together. I thought it was something else. But, you know, that's the common thought. A lot of these, it's like, okay, it's our best guess. Let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're coming back with an interview that you did on the Show Jumping podcast.
Frequently Asked Questions brought to you by Kentucky Performance Product. My older gelding is having trouble holding his weight, and I'm afraid to feed him any more senior feed. He gets all the hay he wants. What do you recommend? Many older horses are eventually unable to maintain acceptable body condition on a typical diet of hay and grain alone. When you want to add calories without the risk of digestive upset, we recommend Equijoule Rice Bran. It is an excellent source of easy-to-digest calories for older horses. The fat in Equijoule is a concentrated energy source. It will increase calorie consumption and improve body condition without risking grain overload. Start your older horse on 1/4 pound per day and work up to 1 or 2 pounds per day over a few weeks. Remember, small meals fed 3 to 4 times per day will help your older horse better utilize the feed. You can learn more about Equijoule at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
We were so excited to have Brendan Wise join us on the last episode of the Show Jumping podcast. Now, Glenn, I understand that you and Allison had him on the Equine Affair podcast here at Horses in the Morning a couple months ago, and yep. You got to spend time with him, gosh, was it 3 weeks ago already in Ohio?
Yep. That's right.
And he was just the absolute nicest guy to coordinate with, to chat with. And so what we're going to share with you guys today, instead of his backstory, which you guys might have already heard, you can go back and listen to that other episode. So we wanted to share a little bit where we pivoted and got a bit more technical with Brendan. So this little clip, it's about 6 minutes long, where you'll understand kind of how Brendan approaches going bridleless. You know, I couldn't really get my mind around it. We've all, I have to assume, sat on our horses in a halter and lead rope, right? And you mess around and have some fun. But there's actual technical step-by-step training that you can take to go into it. So we wanted to share a little clip about how you can kind of get started on your own bridleless journey. So let's listen to Brendan.
So, Brendan, I love your philosophy, and you inspire me as a rider when I watch your videos. I mean, you just look like your timing with him is so lovely. But I'm going to ask you some of the questions that I know our listeners are wondering. And that's really the, how the F do you steer without a bridle? And I mean that as a joke, but also seriously, you know, I've given lots of lessons on riders who have terrible hands or have just bad habits with their hands. And we work with riding in a halter. We work with riding on the buckle. We work with, you know, really using our legs and all of our other aids to steer. So I definitely understand the mechanics of using less rein. And for me as a rider, you know, I've done tons of show jumping. I've done tons of hunters. I always love a soft hand to the point where I drop my reins unintentionally when I shouldn't. Yeah. But, you know, I'm always working on when to give back to the horse's mouth. So I completely understand the premise of the why. But I guess the how sort of still boggles my mind, especially when you get to, like you said, the technical courses, not just the slowing down, but the turning, the jump offs. You know, you watch McLean or you watch Kent turn and steer and get those horses right to the base of the jumps, trying to do as few strides as you can. I almost don't understand the mechanics of how you can really do that and be competitive. I can see it in a nice flowing wide approach. I just don't know. How do you approach that in terms of the jump off? And just, again, literally, how do you turn left and right without a bridle?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'll kind of separate that into two parts. The first part being the mechanics of how it works. And that, I would say, splits into two phases. The first, very first phase of the horse is learning the bridleless work in this specific method. There's a bunch of different types to do bridleless. My original was with nothing at all, no neck rope, nothing like that, just seat and leg and voice. And that's more of a Western type thing. Some people use two dressage whips or a carrot stick or something like that, which is obviously not something that can be taken into competition. And then we land on sort of the neck rope way to do things. And I've landed with the neck rope just because there's so much more that's necessary in the balance of the horse, the adjustability of the horse, the bending and the posturing that really is impossible to do. At least, shouldn't say anything's impossible at this point, but I haven't found it possible to do in the context of riding a competitive course without some help from the neck rope to assist in translating what's coming from my body and my seat. So mechanic-wise, the beginning phase, the horse learns to keep its shoulders in between the boundaries of the neck rope, very much like you would think a Western horse learning to neck rein, very much
okay,
the same
so,
way.
So I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. So before, meaning before you even, obviously a lot of work goes into training a horse without a bridle, but yep. you do spend a lot of time working with the one particular horse or whatever horse it is on almost like a new skill, learning the neck rein.
Yeah, yeah. You can think of it just like starting a young horse. The young horse has to learn the language of the bit or the language of the halter, the first, you know, barrier of breaking down the no communication zone to having some sort of way to translate my thoughts to the horse. Very much the same way the young bridleless horse is learning the language of the neck rope, the very simple forward, backward, left, right. Think of it that way.
Right.
Stay between the boundaries of the neck rope. When I lift up on the neck rope and he feels pressure on the base of his neck, he's to back away from it, or she's to back away from that pressure and rein back and be able to back up. Those are the very first bare bones breaks, if you will, of the horse being able to understand to be sensitive to the neck rope. And then from there, teaching them to turn and keep their shoulders between the boundaries of the neck rope for just very, very simple left and right steering. Now, realistically, even with a half decently quiet horse, if you have even just that forward from the leg, you know, being able to have some breaks and back up from the pressure of the neck rope and a little bit of steering left and right from the neck rope, you can actually do some pretty cool stuff just with that in show jump courses if the horse has sensitivity to it. And it starts there. But when you get to more technical work and you start saying, okay, what type of stride do I want my horse to have with for this element, for jumping into this element? What type of turn and balance and bend do I want to have to shape my lines, especially difficult bending lines that have options between an ad stride or a regular stride? All these start to come into play. And so the steering starts to get different as well. It goes from just guiding to the shoulders to adding more elements in of shaping the horse to the line that I want to ride and letting that shape guide where he goes. Similar to the idea we talk about in dressage between the inside leg and the outside rein. Well, very much for this kind of bridleless horse, the horse is captured between my inside leg and my outside aids, both my outside seat bone, neck rope, and outside leg to help shape the horse into the lines that I want to ride. And that determines a lot of his bend and balance as well. And then from there, I can do things with my seat as well as my body and pressure from the neck rope as well translated through my body. Similarly to, you know, if we have the reins in a good position in our hand and we sit further back, if the hand goes with us, the horse will feel the pressure from the rein with the solidification of our body to say, hey, can you elevate the stride a little bit as my seat comes down into the horse? Similarly with the neck rope, if I sit up in my saddle and my hands follow with my body and feel the translation of that energy going down into my seat, up through my body, then he can also feel the neck rope lifting up his chest and engaging the muscles, all the lifter muscles that would lift up through his withers, up to his poll. He can feel that as well, some of the translation from the neck rope as I ride up into the pressure of the neck rope to create that collection. So that comes into it as well as we shape those lines and adjust the stride as we go.
Well, no one knows your horse's thoughts, emotions, and moods as well as you. Just as in touch as you are with their personality, Sentinel's expert nutritionists are in tune with their dietary needs. With feeds in the form of extruded nuggets to provide exceptional nutrition and formulas made for every life stage and activity level, Sentinel's wide choice of carefully crafted feeds makes it easy to find the perfect fit to better your horse's health. Learn more at feedsentinel.com/horse. Horse Radio Network. That's feedsentinel.com/horse radio network. Well, coming up next, we have one of our terrific auditors, Melanie, and she is coming to us with a live report from the Kentucky 3-day event in Lexington, Kentucky at the Kentucky Horse Park. And it looks like it's a beautiful day. Melanie, how is it there? What's going on?
Well, good morning from Kentucky. It is beautiful day here for once, not pouring down rain. And we've been busy, but it's been really fun so far.
Now, you came in Thursday, and I noticed some pictures. You got to walk the cross-country course. What do you think? Are there any new jumps that are fun?
We walked about half of it last night, and then we got tired, so we're going to finish that today. But there's some really cool jumps. There's one I think you have a picture of with some whiskey barrels. There's one I took a video of that I can post in the auditor's room of my friend, like, laying in one of the ditches, and it is gigantic. So there's some really cool stuff, and the decorating crew did a great job. All the flowers look amazing. I'm excited to see the rest of the course too.
Did you actually watch any dressage, or was that, like, something you didn't do?
We watched some of the warm-up I find more interesting than the actual tests. So we watched a lot of dressage warm-up. We saw Philip Dutton and his team and a few other riders, but I'm really bad at recognizing riders. So I probably saw some really famous people that I didn't even know they were really famous. And then, of course, walked around the trade fair and got all of our free, you know, chapstick and hoof picks and all those things. And yeah, just enjoying the atmosphere.
It looks like you're going to have the best weather that Rolex / Land Rover / Defender has ever had.
Truly, because I brought extra rain gear, so it is not going to rain this year.
No. And it looks like it's going to be the 70s and cloudy. You can't ask for any better than that for Cross Country Day.
Right, and I'm volunteering for Cross Country Day, so I will be, if any auditors or any listeners are in Section E of tailgating, I will be your host.
Oh, is that right? So you're trying to control the drunks? Is that your job?
Well, I'm hoping to join them.
That's our girl.
as I understand it, most of my job is making sure they park correctly and don't hang any flags and things that they're not supposed to. And after that, we get to kind of hang out and mingle and get to meet everybody. That'll be really fun.
The first year they did the tailgating, Jamie and I were there, and it was Leslie or somebody was with us. And we actually went from tent to tent just introducing ourselves and saying hi, and everybody was like, here, you have something. So we ate our way through the tents. Yeah. You can do that too.
That's what I was promised. I was like, on Saturday, you'll have all the food and drinks you could ever want. They'll just give it to you.
All right, so what have you eyed shopping-wise? What do you have your eye on?
Ooh, my friend definitely has an eye on a sparkly pad, and I'm trying to remember which vendor that one was. I want to say maybe even Professional's Choice has some really cool sparkly pads this year. I mean, of course, Dewberry's cool, and Fairfax in Favor if you're into that whole look. But we haven't made it to all the vendors quite yet, so that's on our list today is to hit the ones we missed. I definitely want to see State Line Tax because they always have the best deals. I want to see a few of the others. I came here with a list of I need nothing, so I will probably leave with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that's when it's the worst. Well, is it?
We went to Keeneland this morning and watched the horses breeze and had breakfast at the track. And highly recommend that if you ever come to Kentucky.
Yeah, we've really done that fun. A couple times. It is very cool to have breakfast there. And your weather this morning probably was perfect for that.
It was gorgeous. I'll post some pictures again in the auditor's room. And it was just really a beautiful morning to do that.
I'm imagining now, Thursday's never very busy, but I'm imagining that your crowds for today and tomorrow and Sunday are going to be just, I'd be surprised they don't set records with the weather and everything.
Well, when we came back, actually, what's funny, when we came back from Keeneland this morning, we were like, look how many more cars are here now this early already than yesterday. So it is going to be, it's going to be packed.
Yeah. Get there early tomorrow. You'll be parking in the parking in the next county. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, well, like I said, we're staying on the ground. We have the best of both worlds. We can walk out the door and be at a dressage ring in 5 minutes. So,
well, I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for everybody there. Jamie's there somewhere. I haven't heard from her, so I'm assuming she's there and made it.
I'll keep an eye out.
And she's got the dinner with listeners tonight, so I'm sure we'll see pictures and hear all about that. Well, and of course, if you want to follow the coverage, we don't talk about who's usually leading, because by the time you listen to this, it's going to have changed. You can go to Eventing Nation for all of that stuff. They're the best place to go to find all of that information. Melanie, have fun. Eat your way.
Thank you.
For me. I always loved the bourbon chicken there. It was always one of my favorites. And so have some food for me and enjoy the weekend.
We will. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.
We're sorry you're not here, but, we'll try to have fun without you.
I'm sure you will. I'm very sure you will. All right, Melanie, take care. Am I correct in remembering that you've never been there?
No, I was there, not Rolex 2018, before we moved to Italy.
So you have been.
I went.
Okay.
Yes.
It's like no other show in this country.
Oh, my God. We went on a girls' trip, and I have a friend there who has a breeding farm in Paris. And so it couldn't have been any better. It was just a dream. And hopefully someone, like my boss or something, can pay me to go next year.
You have a baby. You're not going anywhere.
I got a husband. I was just telling him.
Yeah, okay. So I have some facts and figures here on the cicadas that you're all going to be dealing with here very shortly. So this, and it's been widely publicized that this is the rare double emergence of the 13-year and 17-year cicadas. So there's two groups. There's two broods, they call them. That's the packs of cicadas. And there are apparently seven different species that are part of the same broods. So you can have seven different kinds of cicadas all popping out at the same time. And this happens that these two particular broods pop out every 221 years. So the last time this happened was in 1803, and that's when Thomas Jefferson was president. And the Louisiana Purchase had just been completed. So the areas that can experience the double brood cicadas in 2024 include parts of the Midwest or Mid-Atlantic, where both the 13-year and 17-year overlap. So So there's certain, they won't overlap everywhere. There's certain parts of the Mid-Atlantic, and they can't really tell either because they do kind of move around a bit. But that's going to be in certain parts of the Midwest. And they said probably not the South. The more South will be just one of the broods. So what happens is cicadas, I wonder, Jennifer asked me, what do they eat? And that was a good question. Because last time we saw them, well, we were in Kentucky at the time, and I remember going out to Shaker Village, and Shaker Village was just crawling with cicadas. And of course, you know, they're about the size of what a, they're about the size of a carrot or a small baby carrot.
Yeah, like a baby carrot. Yeah.
Baby carrot. And they have kind of that same color eyes, actually. The red eyes are what really gets you. So what they do, they when they're a nymph, they burrow underground, and it can be up to 6 to 8 feet underground. And they feed on roots of trees, bushes, and shrubs. And after they emerge, they molt into adult cicadas. And after they're adults, they consume tree sap. So that's what they eat. That's why you see them on the trees. I didn't know if they were eating the bark or what they were eating. So apparently it's the tree sap that they eat. And so the 13-year cicadas actually live for 13 years. It's just that most of that 13 years, they're underground.
Wow.
As nymphs, you know, little tiny nymphs. So they...
How boring.
I know. Then they pop out, and they only live for a few weeks. So they have a lifespan of 14 to 21 days above ground.
Gosh.
So they're underground. The 17-year cicadas live for 17 years. They're underground as well most of the time, and they also live for 2 to 3 weeks. So they can be a nuisance, obviously. You're going to find out, those that you haven't experienced before. They're not dangerous, but boy, are they loud. They are so loud. And your air conditioner is not going to cover this up. And if you have a large quantity of them, and by the way, they're coming out in the billions. They said that you're not even talking millions. It's like billions.
Oh, my God.
So it's very loud. You remember how loud they are. That's just,
I do.
It's definitely loud.
Looking back in the past with rose-colored glasses, I'm like, oh, that was such a nice summer noise. The trill of the cicadas lulling you to sleep. I can't imagine having to deal with that, for example, like with a newborn baby. Like, no.
Trill is a good word, actually, for that. And, you know, some of the complaints that were coming to the police departments was they sound like sirens because they do get in a rhythm.
Yes, and, I could see that.
Yeah, so that was one of the things. Now, obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of them. And they do – you don't have to worry about your dogs or your cats or your horses. They can eat them in small quantities. As a matter of fact, there's a bunch of restaurants now making cicada dishes for people.
Nope.
You don't have to worry about your dog. Now, eating a couple of them. If your dog goes crazy and starts eating a bunch of them, then it could be a problem. And that's only because of the structure of the cicada's body. It's not anything in it's going to cause trouble. It's just going to get stopped up.
Oh, my gosh.
So you don't have to worry about your horses eating them. They said what you're supposed to do technically after they die, remember crunching on walking along and crunching the carcasses because they die and just lay there. Yeah. Apparently that's really, really, really good for the soil. Cicada carcasses are one of the best things you can have in your soil. So they said leave them there. If you don't want to leave them there, you can rake them up and just throw them away. But at some people, they said it was so thick that they had to rake them up.
Oh, my God. That's said, gross.
Another thing to check on is your gutters. I didn't think about this. In the barn and the house. Because where there's heavy cicada activity, they will be in the house. I remember seeing houses that were just covered. You couldn't see the house. And it's like the house was moving, you know? And they can accumulate there and cause clogs in your gutters and stuff like that, too. So there, you have that to look forward to. There's good news on a Friday coming up. I'm so excited. This is one thing that we don't have in Florida, although I did see the love bugs started to come out. We're starting love bug seasons. I'll take love bugs over cicadas, though. One more of the sayings and where it came from is one horse town. Of course, it means a small and unimportant place.
Oh, where I used to live.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you live in a two horse town.
That's right.
Yeah. First recorded in the 1800s, the expression alluded to a town where one horse would suffice for the work and transportation needs of the entire town. It is now considered an insult to call somewhere a one-horse town. But that's how it started. It was one little a town that had one horse. And one horse did all the work and was probably miserable.
So now, like, the modern equivalent is, like, if you're in the Southeast and you have one snow plow.
Right, exactly. <That's> right. All right, let's do some really bad ads.
He says one thing and he means another, but, hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week. Time for really bad ads, when you all submit ads to us from Craigslist or Facebook, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. We put all the names of everybody that submits, whether you get on the air or not. There's so many, we can't get them all on the air. And we put them in a list. And at the end of the month, we draw numbers and names, and we give away prizes. And we'll be doing that next week. So next week, we'll be doing this batch of prizes. So you have one more week to get your entries into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. And the really bad ads for this month, and you want to do this one. This is the big prize for this month, is my box of crap. And what that is I go through my office and I find stuff that's been sent to us or I've gotten different places and I don't want it anymore and it's taken up space. And you're in extra luck for this box of crap because it's a very large box of crap because I've been cleaning to get ready for a potential move. So I've found a whole bunch of crap. Now, some of it's really crap and some of it's okay. So some of it's all right. So anyway, that's one of the prizes is a box of crap. Also, as an annual subscription for US Rider, or the 24/7 nationwide plan covers everything from lockouts and jump starts to towing your vehicles, trucks, and trailers. You're covered whether you're towing or not. So the nice part about US Rider is it does cover you and your horses and your trailer. And if you break down, they're going to make sure your trailer and your horses get to where they need to go, as well as get your truck fixed. And what's really cool is it also applies to your cars when you're not towing. So it's like a super duper AAA. And the nice advantage to that is they have a US-based call center. So they're actually going to answer from somewhere in the United States and you'll be able to understand them. So that's one of the prizes.
And the other prize we have in store for you lucky listeners is a year of Equestrian Plus, which is basically the Netflix for our English-oriented folks. This is valued at $150. And Equestrian Plus has videos for everything you could ever imagine, from Olympic legends like five-time dressage medalist Stephen Peters, show jumping powerhouse Ann Krasinski, and even... everybody knows him and loves him, William Fox Pitt from the eventing circuit. They have clinics, training videos, all kinds of super cool stuff. And I mean, you don't have to sit through like ads like YouTube, right? Like, what a win. With over 5,000 training videos, you'll have access to these tutorials, clinics, training sessions, and more.
Very good. So those prizes will be drawn next week. You have one more week. And Jennifer said, remember, when you're sending Facebook ad links, they don't always work because they're for private pages and Jennifer's not going to join all those pages. So do screenshots. So take a screenshot and send the screenshot. Otherwise, we won't have the information to put your ad up. Well, the first one, by the way, if you record your own, like Lisa did for this next one, if you record your own, you get two entries for every one you send in. If you record your own in an accent that you don't normally have, you get three entries. So here we go. Here's Lisa with her really bad ad.
Hey guys, it's Lisa in Virginia. I was on Facebook and saw this hilarious ad that it's not really a bad ad, but it's really funny, so I wanted to share it. Okay, here goes. Looking for a boyfriend? Oasis, yes, that's also his jockey club name, is looking for his next partner. Oasis is a 2017 gray model. He stands at 16'1" and is decently stocky. Oasis isn't a hard keeper, stays out 24/7 unless the weather's bad, loads ties, stands for vet and farrier, up to date on everything, and middle of the herd. Oasis is not my favorite anymore. He's handsome, but our personalities don't mesh, and now he's mooching off of me. Horses are supposed to click with their human, and he needs a different human. Oasis's personality is like that rude boyfriend that you've had that is never happy. Maybe the one that doesn't really want to hang out and is lazy. Doesn't really want to be friends with anyone. Grumpy? Yep. If you're in it for the looks and not the personality, Oasis is the boyfriend for you. He's a kick ride, lazy, but with potential. Knows his lead, sound, needs to leave because I want to break up. He lives with me in Fredericksburg, but I'm fine with him moving to a new zip code. Ha, I love it.
That's a funny one. And he's a bit of a drunk, too. But
and he can't keep a job.
No. Steph sent this one in. Thank you, Lisa. That was great. Well read. Steph sent this one in. We should get introduce these two, actually. Complete idiot mare. 4 years, 13 three-point hands. Was sold to current owners as a good fit for a 70-year-old rookie and her grandkids. Trained by trainer name redacted, using the hold my beard method that is his hallmark, needs to be restarted. She's basically a messed up yearling in a 4-year-old suit. Comes with a 1-year subscription to BetterHelp. You're going to need it. But dang, she's pretty. So there's that. 20 carats. Does that mean $20,000 or $2,000?
It better not.
What does 20 carats mean?
I mean, that's what the... So they use the carrot emoji the zeros.
But I don't know.
I mean, I think that is what they mean, 20 grand.
For a pony that's a nightmare?
Unless they're joking and they don't get the carrots. I don't know.
I don't know
She's
either.
Pretty.
$20 maybe would be the price on this one. Messed up yearling in a 4-year-old suit. Oh my God.
I mean, I love that they are pro mental health.
Yes, like, exactly.
That's great.
That's the best line of the day so far.
Our next really bad ad comes from our friend Marie. And let's see here. Looking. So in this picture, we have just wire, fence wire. Looking for a mini stallion. I have 7 cattle panels I'll trade and 3 gates. 5 are 16 feet long. 2 are 8 feet long, zip tied together. Just needs to be halter broke as he will be used for breeding.
Oh, no.
In Michigan.
Don't. Oh, please don't.
So he's trading. This person's trading the fencing that they were going to keep the mini in.
And they just want any mini just so we can breed.
Any mini.
Yeah, this is why we have too many horses in the world right here.
Mamma mia.
Allison sent this one in. Stock trailer, $600. Unknown year stock trailer. Pulls fine. Needs work. No title. This is the most bizarre looking beast I've ever seen. So it looks like our typical rounded front trailer that maybe was made for 2 horses. And it looks like they cut it off in front of the wheels and they added a section.
And, yes, it does look extra long.
Yeah, and then they took the part of the roof off, so it's part convertible. Not whole convertible, but part convertible. And the wheels, do you see how far apart the wheels are?
I don't think that this makes sense.
The whole thing is kind of weird looking. And it's very old. I mean, this is a 1960s model. But it just looks like it's been pieced together by a committee.
Maybe like a blind committee.
Yes, yes. $400 is our price. This one's too expensive. Don't buy it.
Next from Katie, we have, it looks like a Facebook ad. I'll be in New York. My daughter don't ride him because he too high off the ground. 16 hands, 3,500 OBO. It's just a black thoroughbred in a field.
It looks like they used the zoom lens to take the pictures because they couldn't get near him.
He's too high off the ground. These people have never heard of a mounting block.
No,
so.
Or their daughter's too short. One or the other.
A deal for you.
The other thing is, it would have been really nice to know, you know, the breed.
No.
Maybe the age, you know, things like that.
No. No. Just he's too tall.
They don't know is what it is. This is the closest they've ever gotten to him, half a mile away. Olivia sent this one in, a POA mare, $1,000. Very, very spotted, this one. And look at the red tail. I mean.
I think it's clay stain.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. The ground's very red. Was sold to me as broke, but I've never rode her as I was pregnant 3 babies in a row.
No,
never
dude.
Really messed with her much. She's had 2 babies since I've had her. We'll trade for a gentle broke horse that isn't old, something that can be rode. There's a lot of babies here.
Listen, they must be very bored at their farm.
We've had the wife had three babies in a row. The mayor had two babies.
That's way too much.
Lots of babies.
That's terrifying.
Now it's got to go because my babies are expensive.
Oh, my gosh. And finally, here we go. Roxanna sent in, looks like maybe Craigslist, grade recip mare. $1,600. Grade recip mare. I think she is QH. I got her for the kids, but after working with her, we found out she was stiff in her front end. Vet got her to loosen up, but she's still a little stiff. Bonnie gets her feet done regular and does not get joint supplements in her feed. She does still have a little limp, but not all the time, just once in a while.
Would be user.
Bonnie is a very sweet mare and is incredibly lame.
Yes.
That last part was not there.
She's only limping when we actually ride her. Every other time she's fine, but when we ride her, she's limping.
Yeah, there's when she's out thing. In pasture, she's just totally fine.
So we have a quarter horse mare for $1,600 that's lame.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Electra sent this one in. That's the last one today. He is a project. He's halter broke and stands tied, and you can hose off him. Hose him off. Oh, hose him off. That was a completely different meaning.
Yeah, what?
He is a thick-made sucker, and someone should make him a using horse. Three-year-old gelding project stands tied. Well, that's the second time they say stands tied. He's very proud of the fact that this horse stands tied. Yeah.
Does that just mean, like, to get used? I've never heard this terminology.
Yes. He's a using horse.
Maybe you need to use drugs to get on him.
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
Could
be. I'm sure that's the case. Although he stands tied. We do know that.
So that's all we've got, really.
Well, thank you, everybody, for sending your ads in. Remember, you have one more week for the prizes. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget Ashley's other show, your sleep podcast, is still out there, still getting downloads. People are listening.
That's it. If you want to sleep tight at night, go check out Sleep Stories for Equestrians.
And we'll be back on Monday. Hopefully have some reports sent in by Jamie. Ashley will be here. Jamie will be traveling back on Monday, I believe. Apparently, a lot of people were having trouble getting to clip my horse actually to work to watch the coverage. I know in past years I've had trouble. I clip my horse is not my favorite platform for watching anything, but people were able to figure it out, tying it to their free USEF membership. Good luck. I hope you get to watch some of the weekend. Well, that's about all I've got. It wasn't easy, if I remember right, last year. I don't think they've improved it at all. So good luck with that. We hope you do get to watch. And have a terrific weekend, everybody. Take care, Ashley.